Well, good morning again. I want to continue on today with the information leg of this new member series. And if you have missed any of the last couple of these, don't forget that you can go back on the website and listen to them so that you understand exactly where we're at and can be in touch with where we're headed too. And I want to say again that this is not going to be a traditional message as you're used to. It's going to be very similar to those that you've experienced the past couple of weeks, and that it's just a lot of information. So I just want you to be aware of that so that you're not upset with me and you understand what I'm attempting to do, and that's communicate information. I want to talk about doctrine this morning and give a basic idea of the things that we believe, you know, as well as explain what it means to be a Southern Baptist. What is a Southern Baptist? And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But I want you to know first off that all of our doctrine is consistent with the 2000 Baptist faith and message. And according to our Constitution, as long as we exist here as Coshocton Baptist Church, this cannot change. Our Constitution is written in a way that does not allow that to change. It'll never change as long as we exist as this church. So just be aware of that. I'm going to go over some highlights from the Baptist faith and message. And again, they're only going to be highlights. I'm not going to go over it in full because it's kind of a long document. But I want you to know that you can receive a copy of that document. You can actually get it online if you go to sbc.net. You click on resources, then click on the Baptist Faith and Message. You can download the whole thing and read it or have it at your fingertips anytime you want to read it. I also want you to know that I made about 20 copies of it and put it out in the entryway on the stand out there. So if you would like a copy of the Baptist Faith and Message or a copy of the church constitution and bylaws, those are out there. Take advantage of that. These are things that we need to understand and be aware of what they say and what they mean. So, the easiest way to define what a Southern Baptist church is would be to say that we're part of a cooperative mission group. The SBC is a group of churches who pool their money and resources to effectively reach the world with the gospel. That's the whole point of a Southern Baptist church. And the Baptist faith and message happens to be a core set of values that all of these churches have in common. So, to be a part of this Southern Baptist group of churches, we have to be in agreement with the Baptist faith and message. That has to be at our core. So it stands to reason that to be a member of Coshocton Baptist Church, that you need to be familiar with these, that you should be in agreement with these. You should understand and have read, and if you have questions, you should get those answers answered before. So to be a part of this church, you need to be in agreement with the Baptist faith and message. So again, we're going to look at highlights from it, and I'm not going to go through all of the scripture references because there is a bunch of them. So I'm going to leave that to you to do as you see fit, and you're welcome to look at it on your own, go through all those references. But what I'm going to do is go through it by giving the topic and then just kind of highlight the description as to the belief associated with that topic. So, here we go. The first thing is the scriptures. The Holy Bible was written by men, divinely inspired, and is God's revelation of himself to man. It is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. God. There is one and only one living and true God. The eternal God reveals himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with distinct personal attributes for each, but without division of nature, essence, or being. Man was created by the special act of God in his own image. By his free choice, man sinned against God and brought sin into the human race. God came in the form of a man in Jesus Christ to make the provision for man's sin by dying on the cross, being buried, but being raised the third day, giving all the opportunity of salvation and redemption. So what about salvation? Salvation involves the redemption of the whole man and is offered freely to all who accept. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, who by his blood obtained eternal redemption for the believer. In its broadest sense, salvation includes regeneration, sanctification, and glorification. So what about God's purpose of grace? Election is the purpose of God, according to which he regenerates, sanctifies, and glorifies sinners. It is consistent with the free agency of man and comprehends all means in connection to the end. All true believers endure to the end. To whom God has accepted in Christ and sanctified by his Spirit, those will never fall away from a state of grace, but shall persevere to the end. And the church, a New Testament church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a local body of baptized believers who are associated by a covenant in faith and fellowship of the gospel, and they're seeking to extend the gospel to the ends of the earth. The church should be an autonomous body. The New Testament speaks also of the church as the body of Christ, which includes all of the redeemed of all ages. What about baptism and the Lord's Supper? Christian baptism is the immersion of a believer in water. It is an act of obedience symbolizing the believer's faith in a crucified, buried, risen Savior. The believer's death to sin, the burial of the life, and the resurrection to walk in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. The Lord's Supper is a symbolic act of obedience whereby members memorialize the death of the Redeemer and anticipate his second coming. This happens to be celebrated in our church once quarterly. Now, I know we were having some issues with getting that taken care of, but we've got it worked out now, so it will be once quarterly on the fifth Sunday, so you can anticipate that. Okay, last things. God, in his own time and in his own way, will bring the world to an appropriate end. Jesus Christ will return personally and visibly. The dead will be raised, and Christ will judge all men in righteousness. The unrighteous will be consigned to hell. The righteous will receive their reward and will dwell forever in heaven with the Lord. So how about evangelism and missions? It is the duty and privilege of every follower of Christ and every church of the Lord Jesus Christ to endeavor to make disciples of all nations, to seek constantly to win the lost to Christ by personal effort. And that comes from Matthew 28:18-20. So what about cooperation? Christ's people should organize such associations and conventions as may best secure cooperation for the great objects of the kingdom of God. Such organizations have no authority over one another or over the churches. Again, we as a church, we operate as an autonomous church, and no one has any type of control over this church except for this group of believers right here today. So what about family? God has ordained the family as the foundational institution of human society. Marriage is the unity of one man and one woman in a covenant commitment for a lifetime. The husband and wife are of equal worth to God, since both were created in God's image. The marriage relationship models the way God relates to his people. Children, from the moment of conception, are a blessing and heritage from God. So that's kind of a brief overview of what the Baptist faith and message looks like. And again, it's very important to understand what is in this document. Every person who is considering membership, you know, needs to read, understand, and agree with this document before joining the church. In my personal opinion, not giving this information would be doing a huge disservice to not only the individual who is considering membership, but also to the church as a whole when future events come along, because it can create some division that is unnecessary. So understand, this is not a new thing. It's not something that I just invented. It's always been here. And if this is, you know, if you're a member and you've never seen or heard of this document, it's very important that you read it. Again, they're available in the entryway. So moving on with the information leg. What about within the church? How do we make decisions? What about that? How are decisions made in this church? And I want to talk about that along with the affiliations we have. So again, I kind of already said this, but the government of this church is vested in its membership. It's not subject to the control of any other organization anywhere, but it does recognize the privileges and the obligations of mutual cooperation that's common among Southern Baptist churches. So that brings us to the question, what is a Southern Baptist church? What exactly does that mean? Who are we? And to answer this question, I'm going to give you information that comes directly off of the individual web pages from all the different entities, because I don't want to misrepresent or say anything that might lead you in a direction that isn't quite true. So I'm going to use information that comes directly from the websites of the three entities involved. Let's talk about the SBC. For almost 170 years, Southern Baptists have sought to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to all people everywhere. The Southern Baptist Convention was formed with a gospel vision. Its founding charter identifies its singular focus for the purpose of eliciting, combining, and directing the energies of the Baptist denomination of Christian for the propagation of the gospel. The Southern Baptist Convention, or the SBC, as you'll commonly hear it referred to, has grown to a network of more than 50,000 cooperating churches and church-type missions that are banded together to make an impact for God's kingdom. So how and where, then, do Southern Baptists advance the gospel? Southern Baptist churches across the nation begin their ministries in their own neighborhood to reach their local communities with the gospel. But they don't stop there. The strength of Southern Baptist work is found in their voluntary cooperation to work together to advance an aggressive global vision while maintaining a strong home base ministry and fruitfulness. Cooperating together is not a new idea. The Apostle Paul applauded churches in the New Testament that pooled their resources for kingdom purposes. The scripture references for that are 1 Corinthians 16, chapter 1, and 2 Corinthians 8, 1 and 2. So what about these cooperative programs. What do those look like? Well, cooperation helps fuel the fire of Southern Baptist missions and ministries. Close to home, Southern Baptists advance the gospel locally by working together with the local association of churches. The gospel is advanced beyond the local level through participation in mission endeavors, through prayer for these collaborative endeavors, and by contributions through the cooperative program, the unified program for funding convention work. So when Southern Baptist churches support the cooperative program in their respective states, the State Baptist Convention uses those funds to fuel the ministry and the mission goals established by churches in that state. Each State Baptist Convention forwards a percentage of funds received by the state to the SBC, providing financial support for more than 10,000 missionaries in North America and around the world. It also goes to theological education through 6 Southern Baptist seminaries for more than 16,000 full-time and part-time students. And a moral advocacy promotion of the religious liberty through the ERLC. The cooperative program funds forwarded from states also provide support for the SBC operating budget and for the work of the SBC Executive Committee. Now, I know in your bulletin there's an insert that you were probably wondering what it was, and I hope you can all see it. But I want you to see this because this kind of roughly illustrates the flow of money as it comes into our church, then is distributed to the state convention, and then where it goes from the state convention into the individual ministries that are funded. So this is a really good illustration of when we give money to the state convention, where does it go? So you can have a look at that, and it should clear up any question that you might have. So obviously, to spread the gospel to the neighborhood and to the nation, it requires a very organized structure to help facilitate that goal. So I want to talk about the Southern Baptist ministry entities for just a minute. The convention assigns and conducts its work through 11 ministry entities, 2 mission boards, 6 seminaries, an Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, a publishing and retail ministry, and a financial resources service ministry, a women's auxiliary, and an executive committee. While some of these ministries are self-sustaining, the majority are supported by the churches with financial contributions through the cooperative program. Of contributions received by the SBC, 73.2% funds missions, and almost 22% provides the ministerial training through the seminaries. Each of these ministries, each of these ministry entities exists for the express purpose of assisting churches in the ultimate goal of advancing the gospel. Missions, evangelism, church planning are facilitated through the International Mission Board, or the IMB, and also the North American Mission Board, the NAMB. Ministerial preparation and continuing education is provided through Golden Gate, Midwestern, New Orleans, Southeastern, Southern, and Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminaries. Christian ethics and religious liberty ministries are assigned to the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Church enrichment ministry and literature publication are the assignment of Lifeway Christian Resources, which receives no cooperative program funding. Guidestone Financial Resources, which also receives no cooperative funding, manages ministerial retirement insurance needs and administers mission dignity and assistance ministry for retired ministers and their families. Then the SBC Executive Committee is charged to conduct the work of the convention between annual meetings in all areas that aren't assigned to one of the other ministry entities. The WMU is the sole auxiliary of the SBC. It cooperates very closely with the IMB and the North American Mission Board to encourage churches to give generously to support missions through contributions to the cooperative program and the two annual missions offerings. And again, you can find all the information you would ever want, all of this plus a ton more, by visiting the individual website of these of the SBC, sbc.net. There's a ton of information, all kinds of interesting things, so you're welcome to check it out. So then, what about our state convention? The State Convention of Baptists in Ohio. The SCBO is a missionary organization within Ohio that coordinates the Great Commission cooperative efforts of Southern Baptists to reach Ohio and the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Southern Baptists established the State Convention of Baptists in Ohio in 1954. Since then, the number of congregations affiliated with the State Convention of Baptists in Ohio has grown to more than 700. These churches have a worldwide outreach through the Cooperative Mission Program of the Southern Baptists. Southern Baptists support more than 10,000 missionaries who are working with more than 1,200 people groups worldwide. Through the cooperative mission work of the Southern Baptists, in 2006, 837,000 people came to know Christ. The State Convention of Baptists in Ohio coordinates the promotion and collection of funds for the Cooperative Mission Program of the Southern Baptist Convention. Ohio Southern Baptists use 40.25% of these funds for worldwide missions and 59.75% of these funds for Mission Ohio. Mission Ohio is a cooperative effort of Southern Baptists to reach at least 1 million believers in 2,020 congregations by the year 2020. Local New Testament churches are the biblical means of reaching people with Christ and helping them grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So strengthening churches to start churches is the focus of Mission Ohio. Mission Ohio enlists 5 strategies to reach the 2020 vision. Again, the vision is to reach 1 million believers by the year 2020 and 2020 congregations. And the method used is prayer, spiritual renewal, creating more and better disciples, and more healthy congregations. You know, discovering, developing, and deploying leaders, and cooperative mission strategies with the associations. So we also have a local association, which is the Muskingum Valley Baptist Association. And this is a family of Baptist churches working together in our area locally to accomplish all of the same goals. The association includes 14 counties in East Central Ohio, from Zanesville to the west, to St. Clairsville in the east, and from Dover, New Philly in the north, to Gallipolis in the south. More than 500,000 people live within these 14 counties. It's estimated that about 72% of people in our area, 72% of people in our area have no personal relationship with Christ and no affiliation with an existing church. Currently, there are more than 38 churches and missions in the Muskingum Valley Baptist Association, combined with a combined membership of about 5,000. This means that there are 12,900 people per SBC church and 85 per SBC member who have yet to become connected to Christ and His church. So, as you can see, the SBC is definitely structured in a way where people everywhere, from right here locally to the other side of the world, will have the opportunity to come to know Christ. We have the opportunity to fulfill the Great Commission through this mission-oriented cooperation. And it's tremendously important for us to take this seriously and to understand what this stuff is all about. And again, each of these individual entities have websites that you can visit and get all the information you would ever want to know. And I do encourage you to do that. But, you know, we're commanded to take the gospel to the world. We've talked about this over and over again. And this is such a tremendous resource for us to be able to do that. I mean, it's just laid out so simple and so easy for us to use, and we need to take advantage of it. So, I want to move on from that, and I want to talk about something that may seem simple to all of you here, but to a new member, it probably wouldn't be all that simple. And that's when you come into a place you're not familiar with, you don't really know all the faces. You don't know who's who and where each person belongs. And one of the things I want to do in the new member class, and I'm going to do it here this morning for those who are available, is take a minute to introduce some of the folks that we have working in this church. And it's not going to be a complete list, so don't be worried that I'm going to go through every single thing. But I want to start out by just recognizing some of those folks that are in key positions so you know the face. And I'm probably going to ask you to kind of maybe stand up or raise your hand so that everybody can identify you. The first one that we probably all already know would be our associate pastor, and he's also the chairman of the deacons, and that's Mike Walters, who is back in the sound booth. So if any of you have heard the name Mike Walters and you don't know who he is, he's right back there in the green shirt. So get you a look. And I want to also recognize a group that you may not know. We have a couple honorary deacons who have some health issues and can't perform all the duties that they once could, and they've kind of taken a back seat to those duties of being a deacon, but they're still in good standing in the church, and sometimes we don't give them recognition. And one of those is Bob Rice, who is sitting right back in the corner. Bob, if you'll just stick your hand up so everybody will know who you are. The other is Bob Jones, who isn't here this morning, but I'm sure a lot of you do know him, and if you don't and you want to let me know, I'll point him out to you sometime when he is here. But there's another group that I want to talk about when it comes to deacons, and that is our active deacons here in the church. And again, I already introduced Mike to you. And you've had an opportunity to kind of see some of these folks as they've been preaching last month, but you all were also introduced to Ron Mathias, who is right over here. So if you heard that name and didn't know who it was, there you go. Preston Palmer, almost directly behind him. Easy enough. Chuck Selders, right over here. Keith Smith, who happens to be sick this morning. Keep him in your prayers, too. Jonathan Unkifer, who happens to be right here. And Jeff West, who is not here this morning either. I want you to recognize this group of people for a very important reason. They are the backbone of this church. Their design is as deacons, they have been ordained for a lifetime to be servants to this group of people here that we call the church. And these are the guys that have decided that they're willing to kind of put their services out there for you as a church. Each one of these guys has a list of names of families that they kind of are directly involved with to support and be there for questions and concerns and all that good stuff. So I know some of you folks that may be new here might not have a deacon assigned to you. And if maybe you haven't heard from your deacon for a while or you don't know who it is, you may want to mention that and we can work on getting that worked out. But again, these are the guys that you go to whenever you have issues that you need help with. These are the guys that are here to support and to move this church forward. So don't forget that. And I want you to recognize all of them. A few more key leaders we have, of course, Keith and Cheryl Smith. Keith is not here again, but they are our youth leaders. Amy Unkefer and Jonathan are the Awana. Amy's the Awana commander. We have some Sunday school teachers that I want you to know. The kindergarten through second grade is Heather Starkey. Third, fourth, and fifth is Candace Palmer, and I think she's next door in Children's Church. Sixth through 12th grade, Keith and Cheryl Smith again. And we have two adult teachers, which would be Chuck Selders and Ron Mathias, and then Darlene Patterson is a backup for Ron. So those are what we have. And again, you know, I've said this before, and I'm going to take the opportunity to say it again now. We need a few more adult Sunday school teachers. So, you know, if you're one of those folks that God's given you the ability to teach and you think you would be good at a position like that, and pray about it. See if God leads. Because as we move forward with the mission statement and the plan of developing some small serving groups out of these Sunday school classes and trying to measure our success by how many people we move across to attend Sunday school classes, we need to have classes available for the folks that are going to come. So pray about how God's leading you there. I know Ron's class specifically has exploded, and he's got way more than probably needs to be at this time, and I'm glad they're having a good time, but we need more Sunday school teachers, so pray about that. Okay, one last thing, and I promise I'm going to wrap up. I know this is probably boring to most of you. The last thing is church facilities. Directly after services, I'm going to offer a tour to anybody who, I'm sure most of you have seen the entire facility. If you have not, meet me back in that corner by that big plant, and I'll take you around and show you everything you ever wondered about the church. Try to answer any question, give you a detailed tour, because I want you to know where you're at and how to get around so you don't get lost in here, and maybe take the opportunity to answer any questions you might have. There's a few other things about the facility that I want to talk about. And one of those is cleaning and upkeep of the building. I want you to know that this is totally accomplished through volunteers. And I know this is only my opinion and my view, but I see this building as a tool to reach people with the gospel. And I believe that we should use every inch of it the best possible way that we can, as often as we can. I just believe that. I believe that God's given it to us, and we need to take advantage of it. But I also want everybody to recognize and realize that when it comes to this building, when it comes to folks coming in the door for the first time, first impressions are very important. And whether or not this facility is clean and neat is very important. And I know I've said this before, but every Sunday night I walk through here and pick up all the stuff that everybody leaves. And I want you to understand that when you leave things laying in the pews, when you leave things laying in the fellowship hall or out in the entryway or around the building, somebody is spending their time to pick up after you. And it's silly. Please pick up after yourself. Please understand that first impressions are important. If you see something laying on the floor, pick it up. It's not that complicated. You see something that's messy, straighten it up. We all have that responsibility to keep this building neat and clean, and we only get one first impression with someone who walks through the door. And that first impression is very important. So I encourage you, don't leave your candy wrappers laying on the floor. You know, we have these volunteers here, and I tell you what's happened. We've since had rules established that you're not even supposed to have food or drink in the sanctuary. And you know why that is? Because folks get tired of digging the gum out of the carpet and cleaning up the spilled coffee and the different things. It's not because we're dictators. It's because we can't be neat and clean with the things we have. So please be considerate in this area, and take it upon yourself to clean up after yourselves, and maybe sometimes that means cleaning up after somebody else. So again, you know, we have a mission. We have a mission. God's given us a purpose, and our job is to come together and accomplish that purpose. I want to just take 1 second to talk about that purpose, to talk about that mission statement. If you have your bulletin with you, maybe you can share with somebody beside you, but it's in your bulletin at the top by the Connect, Grow, Serve. And I want to take the time to look at that together and just read it and to just bring it to the forefront of our minds. So if you would, read this with me. Connect, grow, serve. Our mission at CBC is to show people how to connect with God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, to help them grow in their relationship with Christ as well as their relationship with others, then teach them how to serve God through service to others. Very simple. I do, again, encourage all of you to commit that to memory, to be thinking about it, to have that in the front of your mind, to never forget that we have a purpose. God's given us a purpose. So this morning, if you all will stand with me for just a minute, I promise I'll stop talking and close. I just ask that as you stand, you just bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute, because I just have a couple more things to say. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you don't quite understand what it means to connect with God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you, I want you to listen, because that love that Jesus has for you is unlike anything you've ever experienced. I want you to remember back through your life, and I want you to remember that one big thing that stands out that you say, man, I wish I hadn't have done that. Boy, that was a real mistake. I wish I could take that back. I want you to think about that for a second. Now, I want you to begin to think about some of those smaller things that go along with it. Some of those things that you know without question you shouldn't have done. You know it was wrong. You did it anyway. And they still stand out in your life. And you live in the shadow of those mistakes. What if I were to tell you that God made a way for you to step out of the shadow of your past mistakes? He says that your past doesn't have to define your future. He made a way for you to step out of the shadow of your past and begin to live life with a new, clean slate. And maybe right now, as you took the time to reflect on your past, maybe you can feel God tugging on your heart. And I want you to know this. God sent His Son, Jesus, to this earth to live a life without sin. He lived a perfect life according to Scripture. And he did that for us. Jesus loved all of us so much that he was willing to die for us. The Bible says that every one of us have sinned. We have all violated God's law. And that sin separates us from God. You know, we all have those mistakes in our past that we can't take back, and we live in the shadow of those things. God's Word says the penalty for those mistakes is death. But Jesus died to pay the penalty for all of our mistakes. He died as a reasonable sacrifice for our sin. He died in our place. He took our punishment on himself, the punishment we deserved. But he didn't stop there. Because 3 days later, he rose from the grave, having conquered death. The Bible says that if you'll believe this with all of your heart and confess it with your mouth, you can be saved. Saved from hell and eternal separation from God. And today can be the day that you freely accept that gift, that relationship that is offered through Christ. You can leave here and know without question that you're heaven bound because you've started that relationship. And you need to know that he's going to lead you through those mistakes in your life. He's going to lead you through that sin one step at a time. All it takes is that simple prayer that comes from an honest, obedient heart. An honest, obedient heart that desires to put God in control of your life from this day forward. You can accept the gift that is freely offered through Christ. Understand, it's not a one and done kind of thing. He wants your heart. He wants all of it. And if you take the first step, he'll help you with the rest. Let's pray. Father, I have but one simple prayer this morning. I ask that your will be done here. I ask that your will be done here today, that every person here would be open to your will, that they would let go of the distractions and yield to you. Help this group to be obedient to you. Father, I ask that you would convict as needed, and that this group of people would be on their knees seeking your will in your way, not just in their own lives, but for this body of believers as well. Father, I just thank you for all that you do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.